worst possible thing is that you frustrate a customer in messaging, they get annoyed and then they phone, and then you've got a more expensive case and an annoyed customer.
Welcome to episode 128 of Frank Reactions, the show where we help you blend the best of humans and technology to deliver customer experiences that make your organization a success in this incredibly stressful era of people shock. My name is Tama Frank, and I'm proud to say that Frank Reactions is a member of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB. Today's deep dive is with Joshua March, co-founder and CEO of ConverSocial, and the author of the new book, Message Me, about the growing use of messaging tools for customer service. Companies made a big mistake a few years ago. That's when they became so much faster at responding to customer complaints on public sites like Twitter than they did through normal channels like phone or email, that they ended up inadvertently encouraging people to blast them publicly. Now, with the growth of messaging, they finally have a chance to turn that around. According to March, private customer service-related messages are now twice the volume of public ones, and they represent about 25% of all service volumes. Before we dig into what he has to say about how you can use messaging effectively for customer service, I want to thank ATB Financial for its support of this podcast and of all the shows in the Alberta Podcast Network. ATB has gone through tremendous change over the past few years. In fact, I've done a few podcast episodes in which we talk about that. They've gone through the sort of radical change that in many organizations would lead to a huge employee backlash. But instead, ATB has been winning Best Workplace Awards, and this past year, staff gave the company an engagement score of an amazing 91%. As I'm sure you know, engaged employees are key to providing great customer experiences. I also want to quickly apologize for how long it has taken me to get this episode out. As regular listeners know, I'm on a 16-month round-the-world customer experience tour. It's been informing some of the recent blog posts at frankreactions.com, and if you're interested in the more personal side of the travels, you can find those blog posts at temastravels.com, T-E-M-A-S-travels.com. But the combination of travel and a broken leg has made it, unfortunately, impossible for me to keep up the strict bi-weekly schedule that I know a lot of you would prefer, and I'm sorry for that. Now let's get straight to that interview.
I'm Joshua March, the founder and CEO of ConverSocial. ConverSocial is a digital care platform that helps brands deliver customer service via new mobile messaging and social media channels. We work with a lot of big airlines and retailers across the world. And I'm also the author of Message Me, a book I just released a couple of months ago, which is about the future of customer service in the era of messaging and AI.
Was there any specific event or experience that got you thinking about even developing this sort of service, a messaging-based customer service tool?
Yeah, it was a long time coming. Yeah, my previous business was a company called iPlatform. We were one of the first ever agencies helping brands to build Facebook apps back in 2007, 2008. So right kind of beginning of social media. As I was doing that business, you know, I was really excited about the kind of impact that social media was having and the ability for businesses to use it to engage with their customers in new ways. And while I was doing Facebook apps, I kind of came to the realization that Facebook apps were really a bit of a fad. There was this really big fundamental change that was happening in how people were communicating with each other that was actually bigger than just social media. You know, it was a shift into smartphones, into these new, you know, social messaging, all these kind of asynchronous ways of communicating that were becoming the kind of just default ways in every walk of life, right? Not just, you know, between individuals at work, and between businesses and customers. Mm-hmm. And I really felt and believed that as that continued to happen, and, you know, right now that has happened, but yeah, at 2008, 2009, it hadn't happened yet, but it was kind of just on the verge of it. I really believed it was going to become the dominant way and that as it became the dominant way that people communicated, it would really transform how businesses would have to communicate with their customers.
Yeah.
And it was that spark that kind of led to a lot of investigation that, you know, a couple of years later led to founding ConverSocial.
And have things evolved pretty much as you were expecting then?
There's definitely been a lot of twists and turns. You know, when we started, we had this very clear vision of kind of, you know, all communication, all traditional like customer service moving into these new channels. What really happened for the first few years though was that it was mainly around public social media, right? And in public social media, it was really about complaint escalation, right? As people had a bad experience in other channels and turn to public social media to kind of escalate it up and get heard. And, you know, no brand really wanted to encourage their customers to complain publicly, which meant that while social media and social customer service had a really massive impact on like brand perception, and just how people thought about customer service, it only ever accounted or only ever accounts today, you know, for a few percent of overall service volume, right? So it had a big impact, but not quite the impact that I was originally envisioning, or not quite in the same way. But in the last, you know, year and a half, there's been this huge rise of messaging. And, you know, and we've always done messaging, like private messaging has always been a big part of, you know, Facebook and Twitter and these kind of channels. But it was always actually pretty small in volume compared to the public side.
Yeah.
But last year that actually flipped on its head, and the volume of conversations that brands were having of private messaging overtook public and quickly accelerated until by the end of the year, it was twice the volume. And you know, the big change here is that those companies have started to promote messaging as a service channel, you know, cause it's private. They don't have any issues with it. It's actually pretty quickly eating into traditional channels, replacing email, replacing web chat, starting to eat into phone calls. And you start to have messaging or social messaging being like 20, 25, even more than 50% of all service volume. So the rise of messaging is kind of allowing that kind of original vision we had to come true, which is pretty exciting.
The technologies are changing so quickly, and the tools, even the messaging platforms that people want to use, are changing pretty quickly. How the heck are companies supposed to be agile enough to keep up with that?
Yeah, it's certainly not easy. And in many ways, you know, that's why it's a big part of the reason why I wrote the book, Message Me, because, you know, I'm kind of living and breathing all of these changes happening, all the new different channels coming up and the rise of social, the rise of messaging, all the bot platforms, all AI. And as I spoke to, you know, execs in the industry and big brands, you know, I realized that it was just a lot to keep track of if you're trying to keep on top of everything and really understand where everything's going.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I do think it is important as much as possible. You know, if execs really want to lead their companies, or if companies really want to be innovative, then you've got to get a good understanding of what's happening in that space. And, you know, staying on top of all the trends. And I think choosing technology partners who obviously show a strong vision and leadership is important as well. Yeah, obviously the great thing about software as a service is that the technology can update in real time, you know, after a company's bought it. So as long as you're working with the right technology partners, you know, they should be able to bring you on that journey. You know, that's certainly what we try and do at ConverSocial is, you know, the company gets on with us and we make sure that we keep on top of all of the latest innovations and changes happening in the industry.
Yes, that's certainly what one would hope one's partner would do.
In principle.
Yeah, exactly. So you mentioned AI, and I was really interested to see, because one of my complaints has been that we are all still training their AI bots. And they really aren't that great yet. And it looked like you acknowledge that, but are hopeful that they will be fairly soon, certainly for handling the vast majority of customer queries. How far away from that do you think we are from the point where they really can effectively handle the vast majority of queries?
Well, Yeah, this gets to the heart of why I'm so excited about the combination of messaging specifically with AI and automation.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at a kind of traditional, you know, web chat environment where you're having a kind of live conversation, if you try and put a bot into that situation, the bot has to be exceptionally good, right? Because if the bot can't handle the vast majority of the conversations immediately, and if it can't understand a pretty free flowing, you know, long tail conversation, which by the way, no bot can do today. if it can't do that, then it's quickly going to frustrate the customer and you're going to have a kind of painful handoff to a human agent at some point where, you know, the bot will say it can't understand. It'll then make you wait until it hands it over.
Mm-hmm.
But with messaging, you know, messaging is asynchronous. You know, it's more like texting a friend, right? Mm-hmm. And when you're texting a friend, if 5 or even 10 or even 15 minutes pass between a text, you know, it's still pretty quick, still having a pretty real time conversation. And the same is definitely true when you're messaging a business or when a business is messaging a customer. That means that you can combine automation and humans in the same conversation in a very, very seamless way, which never frustrates the customer. So, yeah, message comes in.
I'm not sure about that because, I mean, it seems to me, and even just listening to my young adult children who do messaging a lot more than I do, a lot of kids and people get annoyed if somebody takes a long time to respond. So I'm not as convinced as you are that people will accept messaging as being something where they're happy to wait 5 or 10 minutes before a reply.
Yeah, that's at least the data we see. And I mean, you're obviously coming from a place in messaging where on social media, where often brands are taking a lot longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've been doing a little bit of research internally, looking at the kind of impact of response speeds on CSAT scores. And the data is kind of mixed. You know, there's definitely evidence that, if you're in like an industry like airlines, for example, where people are traveling, then, you know, responding faster definitely makes a difference. But even there, like, yeah, the fastest companies in the world who get kind of, you know, like we have Alaska Airlines is one of our clients and, you know, they'll generally respond within a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If you message them on any of these channels. And, you know, people love that and think that's pretty much, you know, pretty much the fastest response you can expect.
Right.
You know, people aren't sitting waiting for a reply the way they are in a live chat world. You know, they send a message, then they go on and they're messaging someone else or they're using an app or the phone's in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And the notification comes in. So now if you can consistently keep that within 5 minutes, that's ideal. But even with 5 minutes, that's time, I think, to, you know, mix in, you know, an automatic response for one message. And, you know, if another message comes in and the system isn't sure, it doesn't have to tell the customer, oh, I don't understand you. I'm going to, you know, hand you to a human agent. You've got to sit here and wait. You know, that can just happen automatically in the background. And 5 minutes later, the human agent can respond and answer the question. And, you know, as far as the consumer is concerned, they've just got their answer. And I think that you know, we're already doing parts of this today in a very basic way, you know, in that when someone messages one of our clients, a lot of them have a bot that we've built called Conda Social Navigator that just sits at the front end of that messaging conversation and instantly gives a, you know, welcomes a customer, gives a menu based on what type of problem they may have. They click that whatever issue. Immediately there's another message saying, okay, you need to provide XYZ details. Mm-hmm. And then when they provide those details, we'll then route them to an agent and they might get that response in 5 minutes. But you know, as soon as the agent gets it, they've got all the information they need. It's routed to the right agent and they can resolve the issue, which ends up being a much faster resolution time than if they had to kind of go back and forward with each of those questions with an agent. And so even something super simple like that can easily handle like, you know, 15, 20, 25% of inbound messages compared to just doing it with, you know, humans alone. We haven't seen any negative impact on CSAT or NPS from customers who've implemented those kind of solutions. So I think that we're going to see a lot more people kind of implementing those kind of things and gradually adding more and more AI and more intelligence over time to automate more and more of the questions coming in.
That makes sense. So how can they train the AI then without frustrating customers? So the AI is somehow recording the message exchange between the live rep and the human as well, and the person who had sent the query?
Exactly. Yeah, the key thing there is to have a system that is constantly being trained by what the human, by what the human agents are doing. Yeah. And firms like Digital Genius is one company who works in the space. Yeah, they're one company that works in the space with KLM. And I know they have a solution already out in certain situations, which allows the system, the AI system, to suggest answers to agents, and the agents are then approving them. And then, you know, that A ensures that only the right answer gets sent, but also continues training the system so it gets better and better over time. And I think that's really that kind of system. We're also implementing similar systems as well. That's the kind of system that's required to do this well. Because, you know, the worst possible thing is that you frustrate a customer in messaging, they get annoyed, and then they phone, and then you've got, you know, a more expensive case and an annoyed customer.
Yeah. And I mean, ideally, hopefully, where AI will help is it'll get to the point where we don't have to go through a whole bunch of decision trees ourselves before we get an answer. So exactly. You're saying that the way it's being used now, they have a couple of automated messages to try and filter a little bit. If there's more than one or two of those, I think people will get pissed off.
Yeah, you don't want to kind of, you know, 10 menu IVR, phone IVR system for sure. Yeah. The nice thing about obviously doing it visually in messaging though is that it is very quick. You're not having to like sit and wait for these answers. You just kind of press a few buttons and you're through. But you still obviously got to be careful not to, you know, put too many barriers. I think one of the most important elements of messaging is that in general, it is so convenient and so effortless for consumers. And I'm a huge believer in the kind of research found in Effortless Experience. I'm a big fan of that book. I think effort is one of the key determinants of customer loyalty. And I think that's one of the most exciting things about messaging is that it is really effortless if you do it in the right way. And so you obviously don't want to ruin that by putting a 10 menu bot in front of dealing with any human.
Exactly. So given that the AI bots aren't that great yet, how long do you think it's going to be till they're generally truly useful? And it's not just, you know, a handful of the world's largest companies doing it.
I'll differentiate quickly between kind of marketing and service use cases, because, you know, there are definitely in the marketing world, there are some, so there are some clear successes happening with like transactional focused bots doing very simple things,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, selling flowers or just signing people up for marketing, you know, marketing engagements in ways that are more interactive than over other channels.
Yeah.
And in the customer service world, you know, it's really got to be human powered, but, you know, we are seeing success, like I said, with Navigator, where you're just, you know, doing simple automation just at the beginning of conversations, just collecting information, and we're going to start getting deeper and deeper on that. And I think what we're doing at least is we're doing baby steps, right? So say, okay, we've now managed to automate, you know, data collection, you know, hey, can we do an integration with your order system? So if someone wants to just check on their delivery status, they can just put their order confirmation number and get the answer straight away. You know, that kind of thing is like simple to automate. You know, you can do that as the next baby step, implementing more, you know, machine learning into the back end, maybe start suggesting answers. I think we're going to see these gradual baby steps come more and more in and be implemented more and more. And yeah. it's hard to make an exact timeline, but you know, I would think over the next 5 years, we'll get to a place where, you know, most companies can have, you know, AI and automation based solutions that can handle, you know, 50 to 70%, say, of inbound messages automatically. And depending on the brand. Yeah, I think the fact that we've got to like, for some companies today, 20-25%, even with very, very simple automation, shows just how much potential there is. And obviously customer service does have a pretty big long tail, of issues that a lot of brands are dealing with. So, you know, I think it's going to be a long time until we're at 100%. But I do think we're going to be able to make really big strides in the next 5 years.
And I think, I mean, I can see where there are a lot of questions that people may phrase them slightly differently, but they're standard. I mean, we used to have in the early days of the web, every website had a FAQ page, frequently asked questions. But those got to the point where they were so big and cumbersome, it was hard to find your answers and no one wants to look through it. So I see where AI can really, really help with those, which for a lot of companies would be the bulk of the questions.
100%, right? And if there's just this change that's been happening in how people use the internet. You know, the old model used to be more of kind of a pull model, right? Which is like, I'll go and find the information I want and bring it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, now we're in more of a kind of push model, right? It started with the idea of the newsfeed, which is, you know, hey, just come to the site and we'll intelligently figure out what you want to look at and interact with, and we'll put it right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same with messaging and customer service, right? Instead of people don't want to like come find your website, find your support forum and, you know, trawl through and eventually find an answer. You know, they just want to be able to send you a message and get the answer. Now, I actually had this experience on Friday night. I was having some problems with my Sonos app. I have like Sonos speakers and they were slightly out of sync.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just Googled the answer. I Googled the question and ended up with, you know, 5 different results on the Sonos forum. And I like, after like reading through 3 of them that weren't actually quite relevant, I was like, you know, I'll just tweet them. So I just sent them a DM, private message on Twitter. Within a few minutes, they responded and told me exactly what I needed to do, which is really a much better experience.
Absolutely.
And that's definitely the future. And I think, as you said, you know, especially with, you know, if you can just find the answer in FAQs that a lot of companies have built up, there's a lot of room for automating that.
Yeah. Talked a little bit about ROI and that you were suggesting that we need to make some changes to how we do ROI calculations in the area of customer service. Can you elaborate a bit on that?
Yeah. So it wasn't so much that overall customer service needs to change, because I think that's difficult, especially when you're looking at, you know, just how institutionalized, you know, call centers and the phone is. But what one of the big challenges that we've seen in the industry when it comes to social media and messaging is that, you know, these new channels came about, and these new channels worked in ways that were quite different to traditional customer service channels. You know, if you think about messaging, it's this kind of continuous conversation that never ends, right? It doesn't easily divide itself into this is a case like a phone call does, like, or like a live chat does, or even a particular thread of an email does, right? It just keeps going forever. And it's this one single track between the brand and the customer that there could be multiple different cases and multiple different issues. So basically companies took all this social and messaging stuff in and said, okay, we've got to do customer service over it. But no one knew exactly how it would fit into traditional systems. So everyone just went, well, we'll measure it in its own way. Yeah, we'll measure it. We'll measure engagement, or we'll measure messages instead of cases, or we'll do whatever it is. And everyone started doing this, and then everyone started really quickly butting up into the challenge that if you can't measure it in the same way, right, if you can't get comparable metrics, it's almost impossible to make an investment case.
Yeah.
Right. Because why, if you're trying to justify shifting volume away from your traditional channels into these new channels in large numbers, right, and if you really start actively promoting it will shift it in large numbers, you might be talking about, you know, really significant staffing changes. You know, if you're a 100-person call center, which is relatively small, and you're trying to switch half your volume into messaging, it's still 50 people. It's a lot of people, a lot of salaries, a lot of money being spent. And obviously, if you're an even bigger company, it can get, you know, really, really big. And to do those kind of changes, you need to be able to say, well, what's the impact going to be? You know, what's the impact going to be on cost per resolution, on customer satisfaction, on average handling time? And if you can't measure those things in a comparable way, you just can't make that case. And so that I think is this area, really big challenge. And certainly we were actually, you know, we made that mistake when we started as well. Over the last couple of years, we realized that was an issue and done a lot of work on how to correct it. But I think that's a general challenge that the industry has that needs to change.
So how difficult would it be? I mean, I'm just sort of thinking about this. even if you're using messaging, and yes, there may be a stream where I contact and have a few messages about problem one, and then 6 months later I go on problem two, there's still kind of a point at which you can say, have I resolved your problem? And you know that's the end of the case. And then could you not go back and just measure how much time the agent spent communicating and researching to get to solve that problem?
Yeah, 100% in principle. In practice, often it's not. If it was a very clear cut, had a conversation, finished the conversation, no message for 6 months, start another conversation, that would be great. Often what happens is that, the agent thinks it's over, and then the person will send another message an hour later saying thank you or asking a follow-up question. And so, okay, where do you put that hard close? Are you willing to reopen the case? And if so, how long? You obviously need a pretty fixed data set, if you want to compare it to phone calls. So you can't just have a kind of, soft close where the case keeps reopening every time the person messages. And, what are the different rules for that? And what happens if the customer, sends a message that, is about something different, but they send it an hour later, right? How do you account for that? Do you allow the agent to do a hard close on the first and then kind of reopen another case for the second? Similarly, what happens if you want to send, if the agent wants to send a follow up a week later or a few days later, just like checking in, is that part of the same case or is that a new case? There's like a lot of details like that are kind of gotchas if you don't really think through how to design them properly. And you need to have a pretty good understanding of how people measure cases in a contact center in order to do that.
So what are you recommending then as the best way to handle that right now?
I think it's really just a matter of solving all of those problems, right? So we've put a lot of design work into solving those problems at ConvoSocial. And I think we're in a pretty good place. We actually just implemented a load more improvements to that after getting a load of customer feedback. We're about to release a new version of our case management system towards that. We also implemented automated CSAT surveys and NPS surveys in line in messaging. But I think those things are really key. If you're not using us, I think it's really about pushing for those solutions. I think it's essential that kind of everyone in the industry moves to that approach where they expect that they should be able to measure these channels in the same way they can measure any customer service channel. And there are certainly other vendors who've done other similar stuff or parts of the solution. And I think that's the important thing.
So the ROI calculation challenge is certainly one barrier. Are there other barriers that you see to effective implementation of messaging-based customer service?
The biggest barriers we see, we work primarily with big companies, is really just getting that internal buy-in to make process and site changes. Messaging is only going to have an impact if you're really promoting it. If you're promoting it, that means you're going to deflect volume from other channels. That means, potentially you're going to upset other people whose teams are going to get smaller and, agents are going to need to be reassigned. They're going to need to be trained. So there just needs to be a commitment and buy-in across the organization, right? You need often buy-in from the web team who are going to implement it, from the rest of the contact center who are going to have to make these changes. And so often a barrier that we see is just that, there's a really innovative person in the company who wants to make it happen. And, unless they have kind of executive support for what they're doing, it can be a bit of an uphill struggle to get all of the steps, everything in line. That's probably one of the biggest barriers that we see.
Okay. You mentioned obviously your clients are fairly large companies. How long do you think it's going to take till these sorts of solutions are a realistic option for smaller businesses?
I think that, if you deal with, a demographic who is, using messaging or primarily you're using messaging day to day, maybe a younger demographic or, that's actually changing with some of the new messaging channels where it's pretty much everyone. But, you can today just say, hey, we're going to turn off email. And we're going to really invest into messaging as a channel and take a kind of mobile centric messaging first approach.
Okay, turn off email? Like, I'm of the generation that was thrilled by email. What do you mean turn off email?
You know what? Yeah, email for customer service is generally for most companies slow. You know, there's an expectation that you can take days before you respond to it. And people treat it like letters, right? It's kind of long form. You write this long email addressing multiple different points. And, you know, the company has to kind of look at that and the agent has to like look at it and write like a kind of a formal response, which actually takes quite a long time. It's like expensive. It's slow. It's like not a great experience for customers or for businesses. Whereas, you know, there's something about just the way that people are used to using messaging that they just kind of send a quick question. You know, you can answer, they'll follow up. It's much more natural. It's much more organic. It's much more convenient. It's just kind of there on the phone. You know, it's the same reason that people have been, you know, companies internally have been switching to Slack instead of email. Because it's like a kind of more human-centered way of communicating.
Again, I wonder if there's a bit of a generational issue here because, you know, I don't type with my thumbs all that quickly. So I would rather have a keyboard in front of me when I'm sending something. But I realize I'm in a shrinking portion of the population there. I guess it is becoming pretty natural. What about voice and using voice messaging? How is that going to work out? Because they say that certainly things are going more and more towards voice.
Yeah, so here's my kind of overarching vision of over the next few years. I think messaging is going to become the dominant communication channel. And that could be on a web, you know, like we're doing Messenger customer chat, which is like traditional web chat, but powered by Messenger, or it can be on a mobile or both. AI and automation will handle the kind of first layer, right? They'll be the kind of tier one agents who are, you know, answering simple queries, collecting information. There'll be human agents who'll be there as a kind of backup escalation channel. And if something needs to escalate into voice, you'll probably escalate within the messaging channel to the same agent where you can just switch to a voice conversation. That's not happening today. You know, that all of the messaging channels have the ability to do voice between consumers, but no one's yet implemented it for businesses. But I think that will be coming. You know, voice will always exist as an escalation channel.
Yeah.
But I really think it will decrease as a kind of tier one service channel. You know, I think the kind of initial port of call will be messaging, and voice will just be there as an escalation.
If there continues to be growth in the, you know, Alexa type tools, the Amazon and the other systems, the Google Home, I could certainly see, you know, your dishwasher breaks. I could see people wanting to just voice order that system to call customer service at whatever company.
Yeah, the thing about voice is like, you don't like voice. There's a reason that voice IVRs are so painful. Right. And you know, voice is a great UI for giving commands. It's a terrible UI for receiving menu options or navigating. And you know, and this is why the new Alexa also have a screen, right? And I think that just voice alone is not a great way of kind of going through stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe as kind of machine learning, like natural language processing gets better and over the next kind of 5 to 10 years, if you can just, you know, say your issue and without anything else, it will have a complete understanding of what you've asked and be able to get you through to a human instantly or just get the answer to you. Maybe we'll get there.
Yeah. That's the holy grail. I think where we're all hoping it'll get.
That's the holy grail. That's the holy grail. But I think we're way away from that. You know, we're not there yet. And, you know, the way to think about this is that in the end, all a voice assistant is doing is translating your voice to text and then asking that question in text to an automated system. And so until we're at the stage where you can just write your question to a bot and the bot will instantly have full understanding of your question and be able to answer you. You know, once a bot can do that, you'll be able to do that in voice. Until that point, voice doesn't offer anything else other than a UI for, you know, changing what you're saying into a text question that's being asked somewhere in a server. But I do think there's going to be a combination of these things. I mean, Apple Business Chat is gradually opening up at the moment, which I think is going to be super exciting as a messaging channel in the US. And obviously there's a very close integration with Siri there. I think increasingly people are just using voice assistants to write messages. So I think all of these worlds are kind of colliding and combining over the next few years.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time. Is there anything that I should have asked you and I haven't?
No, I don't think so. In terms of as I look ahead, I just touched on it with Apple Business Chat, but yeah, we've had over the last year, almost all the growth in messaging has really been Facebook Messenger, right? And that's been messaging on the phone. Also, as I mentioned earlier, Messenger customer chat on the web. We're about to be massively supplemented in that by WhatsApp and Apple Business Chat. Two huge, huge messaging channels. When I say Apple Business Chat, that's iMessage, which is kind of what everyone uses in the US on their iPhones. So with Apple Business Chat, businesses will be able to just message people like they're messaging each other on their phones. Super secure, encrypted, very tight integration with Apple Pay. So really exciting for that reason. I think a lot of businesses are going to like start strategically investing more into Apple Business Chat over the next year. So I think that's going to have a big impact. And then WhatsApp, just started opening up their enterprise accounts like in the last week. They're going to be gradually opening those accounts between now and the end of the year. We're working with some companies on that. And then they'll be doing a kind of full release Q1, Q2 next year. And I mean, WhatsApp is just, massive, right? It's the dominant way that everyone communicates in the UK, in Europe, in South America. And businesses are clamoring for it. So I think there's going to be a tremendous growth in business messaging as they get onto WhatsApp. And I think that's going to be super exciting as we go into next year.
So one complication I see for companies too, then, is they're going to have to kind of like now with social media, they're going to have to be able to deal with inquiries coming from several different messaging apps.
They are, but actually, this is one of the great things about messaging as opposed to say public social media. In public social media, a tweet, very different from like a Facebook post. Different form factors, different way of managing them. As a customer service agent, you really had to know the intricacies of how Twitter works to like understand what people are doing with retweeting and hashtags and at mentions and, the length of a tweet and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. In messaging, all of that kind of really falls away because for the most part, 80% plus of what's happening in messaging is it's just a private one-on-one text conversation between the agent and the customer, where people can write messages as long as they want. They can include media, but it's pretty straightforward. And so, you can easily combine multiple different messaging platforms into a single queue for an agent, and they don't really have to think about it, which makes it pretty easy from an internal management and a training perspective, which is great. So that actually makes it much easier for businesses to add on these new channels than was possible with public social media.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time, and I will recommend that people pick up a copy of your book. It is definitely worth a read, and good luck to you.
I see a lot of advantages for companies and their customers to using messaging for customer care, and it's something personally that I've been doing more and more often. On the positive side, it does take most of the complaints out of the public eye, but to keep them out, you still have to meet the incredibly high expectations of today's customers. Their complaint might not start public, but there is screenshotable evidence, which can and will be used against you if you don't handle it well. And although Josh talked about the benefits of not needing to reply as quickly in a messaging app, I predict that grace period will shrink to nothing very quickly. Same thing happened with other social platforms. Just a few years ago, it was okay to answer even a tweet within a day. Then it shrunk to a few hours, and then to a few minutes. Same thing has happened in every platform. People just won't wait anymore. Patience is just not a strong suit of our era. And you are probably getting impatient for this episode to end, so thank you for hanging in there. As always, I would love to hear from you. You can reach me by email, Tema, T-E-M as in marketing, A, at frankreactions.com, or on LinkedIn, Twitter, or the Facebook Frank Reactions page. If you're going to be in London, England between now and mid-October, I would love to link up with you in person. One final word of thanks yet again to the Alberta Podcast Network for the great work it is doing in supporting the growth of quality podcasts. Go to albertapodcastnetwork.com to find interesting podcasts about business, politics, food, culture, movies, sports, self-improvement, and more. I will have another show for you in about a month, but if you want to hear from me in the meantime, please go sign up for the Frank Ideas newsletter at bit.ly/FrankIdeas. I look forward to chatting with you again soon and hope to hear from you by email or through one of those other methods in the meantime. Thanks. I hope you're enjoying your summer and enjoy the rest of it.